Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the big show?
Are you ready?
You ready for the partner?
Go! This is the MLS Show. MLS Show. On the BTP Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Beyond the Pitch's MLS Show's Save of the Week show. I am Scott Nichols, your host, and I'm joined, as always, by David Priest. David, how's it going, sir?
It's going really well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Are you ready to get into it and talk about some goalkeeping?
I'm ready, mate. Don't worry.
All right, excellent. So, five new candidates for Save of the Week this week. Last week, Toronto's Alex Bono won our very prestigious, distinguished award. All right, and I think this week we'll start off with Bobby Shuttleworth against NYCFC. What made this a Save the Week contender for you, David?
Well, for one, it's a great reaction save. The shot comes in from the left, and he sticks his left hand out. Good, strong hand. It gets just out. It's just pushed away at the right angle just to get away from the danger. So there's nobody's going to come into the box and finish off the second ball. But the one thing that makes it really difficult is this one. If you just look, if people look back at the goal and see the shot comes in, and just as the shot gets there, it's Francisco Calvo, a defender just in front of Shuttleworth. He just comes across his eye line, and he could affect his dive. He could affect what he sees of the ball. He could distract him a little bit. So he's got to keep that focus on the ball as it comes in, and he does that. And gets his hand out and gets the ball away. It makes it a great save.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a, you know, what we always call a typical save of the week contender, right? You know, reaction save, diving high to his, you know, one side or the other. This time he was diving to his left. Just you say it was difficult because the defender, was it Calvo, came across?
Yeah.
Okay, Calvo comes across him. So you're a goalkeeper in that situation. Not only have you got a shot that's flying at you at, what, 70 plus miles an hour at this point, just inside the penalty yard, the penalty box. So it's a short distance between where you're standing. So I think, if I remember rightly, he's standing sort of on his six, isn't he? About on his 6 yard area as well. So that's even less place for it to go. Then the defender runs across you. How difficult is it as a goalkeeper to keep focus on that ball and not worry about everything else that's going on around you?
Well, what you quite often get, if you see when teams are defending a corner, and if they've got a man on the, especially on the back post, you often find if a header goes in between sort of the man on the back post and the goalkeeper, there's a lot of hesitation. People lose their focus because they don't know who's going for the ball. And sometimes there's a mix-up and they both don't go for it, or they both go for the same ball, and it's a complete mess. And sometimes it can happen in this situation as well, where you think that as the shot's coming in, you see the player coming across your eye line. You don't know whether he's going to stick his head on the ball, whether he's going to try and stop it. But that's what he does. He keeps focus, keeps his eyes focused on the ball, and doesn't let that affect him in front, and he just reacts brilliantly.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's a great reaction save. It must be so difficult for people, for any goalkeeper to sort of keep their focus in that situation, because you can also look quite stupid, can't you, by like you've dove one way and then all of a sudden, because you're so focused on where you think the ball's going, and then all of a sudden it goes the other way. But on the flip side, I guess you could be criticized for indecision if you don't go and you let it go by you. Am I right? Is that sort of like,
yeah,
a double-edged sword that goalkeepers always run in these situations?
Well, that's it, and probably the thing that goes in Bobby Shuttleworth's favour here is that it's because the strike is so sharp, it's got a lot of pace on it, that there's very little time for him to think about anything like that, and it just closes down his options, and he's just basically gone off instinct. But he's had no time to move his feet at all, and it's just a simple just stand up and react to the ball. And you're right about him, the fact that he's so far out of his goal. For me, from that situation, I probably want him to be maybe a yard, even 2 yards further back. But as it turns out, he made the right choice, simply because if he had been further back, he might have gotten away from him a bit further to his left. So in the end, his position has been perfect for the shot that came in.
Yeah, he's been a couple times on Save of the Week now, Bobby Shuttleworth. One of those goalkeepers who, you know, you can pull off impossible, incredible saves and then leaves you frustrated sometimes with the simpler ones. Much like Tyler Derrick of the Houston Dynamo was last couple of years ago, when he pulled off some incredible saves from Kaká, etc. Now, a goalkeeper who is not like Tyler Derrick or Bobby Shuttleworth, and generally considered one of the better goalkeepers in MLS, if not one of the best, is David Alstead. And that's the save that we're going to talk about next, David.
Yeah, it's this one's a, like we keep saying about being a spectacular save, being the save of the week. That's what this one looks like. It's a shot from distance, great free kick that comes across his right. But what makes it difficult in this situation is that the ball's bending away from Ousted. He's sometimes, you know, as the ball's coming towards you, you're making decision when you're going to take a dive. You're wondering whether I can get another step in or not. What he does brilliantly, he gets two great steps in and a great push, and it's enough to get the ball away. Now, he probably, the one negative thing in this situation is that when he does get to the ball, he doesn't push it wide. He pushes it so it's still back in play, and he's got to get up and react again. And that's what he does brilliantly as well, though. He's straight up on his feet and he's set in a set position. And sometimes goalkeeping, it's just about stopping the ball by any means necessary and just getting something on the ball. But in an ideal world, you want to get that ball even away for a corner or certainly out to into a wide area so you can regroup and defend the second ball again. So that's probably just the one thing that works against him in this situation.
Yeah, so is that sort of the mark of a really... Does that separate the good goalkeepers from the great goalkeepers? Is, you know, I think that you can see, if you watch the free kick back again, Ousted knows where that ball is going the whole way. I mean, whether it's interpretation or just a guess at that point, maybe you can shed some light on whether goalkeepers are just guessing at that point. I don't think they are. It's a calculated decision, it looks like. And you can see Ousted follows the flight the whole way, and he knows he wants to get something on it. That sort of presence of mind and that sort of able to dissect a free kick in real time like that, is that what separates the good from the very good and excellent?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head there. And I think you're right. He does anticipate it going over the wall. He doesn't take a step too early. But you can see his body weight is just, he's just edging that way. He's just wanting to go. He's being dragged across. But I think he probably gets, he surprised himself and probably gets there a lot easier than he thought he would. And he gets a real full hand on the ball. And in those situations, when you do get a full hand on the ball, you've got more control over where you can put the ball. And it's kind of a flat flap that he does on the ball, instead of maybe using the meat of his palm and just to push it a bit more wider.
Right, so is that sort of is that a situation where, you know, sometimes with strikers we'll say, oh, he struck it almost too cleanly. He caught it too well. Did he actually save that too well? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, what we talk about in these situations, everything is sort of in microseconds. You know, it's thousands of a second, and it's okay for us to replay it and see what should happen in the ideal world. And of course, we. Goalkeepers don't get that. Don't have the luxury of being able to break it up as incrementally as we do. But when it comes to these situations, you sometimes you get there too a lot easier than what you thought you would. Like I said, his footwork is great. Get him across there really quickly. He's got a great spring across there. And when you get that full hand, you just need to be able. You've got more control of it when you've got that full hand, so you can try and put it wherever you want. And this is, you know, there's a lot of debate about in goalkeeping about, you know, trying whether catching the ball versus parrying the ball away. And I think sometimes, you know, in goalkeeper training, we don't often just concentrate on the parrying part of the game. So if you're training in doing a drill, you know, you're always trying to catch the ball in every situation. You're trying to catch the ball as much as possible. But there's no real coaching goes into simple parrying the ball away. Just so, like, you know, you could put a drill together where you could say to the keeper, you're not allowed to catch this ball. So then you just get more adept at and having more control over when you're parrying the ball. So then it's all about it becoming instinct. So then, you know, you don't have to think about these situations. I don't know whether you're going to call it your subconscious or just your instinct takes over. And that's what you're hoping that happens in these seconds, where you don't have time to think.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that about the parrying, because I've always thought that parrying was that it's an integral part of a goalkeeper's game, just as sort of passing would be for a striker, or shooting, or, you know, first time shots, you know, stuff, you know, it's all not necessarily intangible stuff, but I think that it's seen to parry is seen as, in at least modern day punditry, or maybe olden time punditry, let's say, as a bad thing for a goalkeeper, just like punching is. But I know that you feel very strongly about the punching as well of the football, and they all of these things serve a purpose for a goalkeeper. It reminds me of like Iker Casillas, for example, incredible shot stopper, and if he needs to parry the ball, he very rarely parries it back into danger, and that to me is a skill. It's not just luck. You know?
Exactly. There is a technique to it, but like I said, that I think one downfall of British goalkeeping has been that it's all been a focus on just catching, and then when you are parrying the ball away, it's in the times when you're under pressure and you're having to make a decision. It has to be a technique that's taught and learned. Now, I also think you can bring a multi-sports aspect to goalkeeping in this situation, because if you try and even just part of a warm-up, you can play volleyball. It's all about just mastering control of that ball with different techniques and using, not just using sort of like the typical handling techniques. It's all about using and being able to improvise and using different parts of the hand, like I said, to manipulate the ball.
All right, okay. Anyway, let's continue on to our third save of the week. Contender, and it is Travis Waugher, who is standing in for Bill Hamid at the moment for DC United. This is one of my favourite ones of the week. I'll be honest, one of my favourites. He seems to, it's the one where he tips it over the crossbar. He seems to be scrambling. Just, for me as a fan watching it without any sort of analytical or goalkeeping expertise, let's say, I found it nice because it seems like he's preparing for one thing, does another, manages to tip the ball over. His team's already down 2-0 at the time, so it could have been 3-0. I think they lost the game anyway. But David, tell us about what you thought was great about Travis Waugher's save.
Well, I think the first thing to look at here really is when I think it's Zabalu gets the ball on the left hand side. He's not being closed down as quickly and closely as I would have liked if I was a goalkeeper or if it was the manager of the team. He's given time. He touches the ball onto his left foot, and now the position he's at and where he can see where the ball is now, he's got a sight of the goal there. The fullback has to get at least another yard, maybe really 2 yards up to him. Sometimes defenders don't want to get too close in this position because they know they can be beaten with a bit of skill, but they have to trust themselves that they can defend this ball. So like I said, he's got a sight of the goal. So Travis he's got to come near, his position's nearer that near post than he would like if he was going to defend across. He knows there can be a shot on target, so he has to take a position closer to that near post area. So once that happens, he's still expecting a cross though. It's just an insurance thinking, well, if he has a shot, if he does something out of the ordinary, I'm there to protect the near post area as well. But he knows he's expecting a cross. As Ballou comes to kick the ball, he's ready to go across to the edge of that 6-yard box. He thinks the ball's being pulled across. Now, I don't know whether it's a mishit or whether Blues tried to chip Travis here, but the ball's going straight over Travis's head here. It looks as if it's going to loop over the top of him. Now, what he's got to do, he's got to adjust. He's got to change his body shape, shift backwards, and he gets those 5 or 6 little steps in, which are crucial. It's crucial that they're little steps as well, because it keeps him in a good position to push off to when the ball goes over his head. And he does that brilliantly. He gets a great spring behind him. And for me, we'll discuss what's the best save at the end of the clips here. But it's certainly for me the most difficult out of a lot of them, simply because there's so much going on that he has to keep thinking and keep adjusting all the time.
Yeah, because I think that it comes out that way from a goalkeeping point of view, and this is exactly why we do this exercise, because for for somebody who's just a regular fan, they might think, oh, he's just backtracked and put it over the bar. Simple stuff for a goalkeeper. But this is the sort of things that we don't always consider, you know. And just from having talked to you now and having, you know, listened back to the way that you describe the things that goalkeepers do and think and actually act on within a game, you know, stuff like that now really impresses me. And I can sort of see from some kind of angle, like how you might think that that is one of the most difficult saves. Another save that I thought was really difficult this week is apparently perennial save of the week contender this year, David Bingham. Cali Clásico, so it's a big game, big game. And there's a cross that comes in. It's just a deft little header by Dave Rodney, I believe. Just a little, I think it's just because he didn't expect to get it to him. And the ball just sort of like rolls off of Romney's head towards the Bingham's far post, dives to his right, sort of scrambles and dives and clears it away. Looks good, but how good is it?
Well, it looks like a pretty sort of ineffective cross, really, because I think it's Bradford Jameson, he just lofts the ball into the box, and it's kind of just a hit and hope, stick it in the mix to see what happens. There's no craft or no guile about it. He just lifts it in there. And I think David Bingham, he can kind of forgive him if he was a little bit relaxed, because I think it's just a high loft the ball in. It's an easy ball for defenders to go and attack. One of you is just go and take it. The trouble is neither of the central defenders goes to attack the ball. And you're right. It just, rather than it being a header, it kind of just, I think Romney's so surprised that the ball actually arrives at him, because he's ducked down as well. And it kind of just hits him. And I think it just takes everyone by surprise. And David Bingham can, you know, he might not be able to save anything because there's a couple of players in front of him. It comes through those players and it does skip off the surface. But I think the one thing that's in his favour is that his momentum's going that way. We talk about, you know, when a ball's coming across and headers are deflected down and they're still going that same direction as the ball's come from. It's a lot easier to shift your momentum, keep your momentum going that way. And he gets across. And it's the same with David Ousted as well. That if you look at it, you see how lightning quick he is to get back on his feet again for that second ball. He doesn't have to deal with another one. It gets well defended. The second shot gets blocked. But as soon as he palms that ball away, he's like a spring. He's just straight back on his feet again and in the set position.
Yeah, no, it looked like a great save. And like you say, he just sort of scrambles. Yeah, down to his right. I think it's still a good save. It looks like a great save, but I'm not sure that this is one of my favourite ones of the week. I tell you what was one of my favourite ones of the week is coming up. It's Tim Howard. Again, look, great goalkeepers make great saves, and we all know Tim Howard's a great goalkeeper. Houston Dynamo, again, this is another headed, I think it's a headed effort by, I want to say Kubo Torres, but I could be wrong, but so forgive me, listeners, if I am. But it's a header down. And
Andrew Wenger, I think it is.
Oh, it was Wenger, was it? Excellent. So it was Andrew Wenger. He makes the header. It goes down, bounces in front of him, diving to his left and keeps it out with both hands. Now, I don't know whether he puts it back into play or not, but it's certainly, this was one of my favourite saves, because I know that it can look, or not just look, but it is very difficult when the ball actually pitches in front of a goalkeeper, because anything that you might have been doing on the way down, you might have to do something, you know, trying to sort of to follow the ball back up with a hand or something. I think Tim Howard gets some great hands on this. What do you think, David?
Yeah, well, what makes it a great save for me, this one, is that we keep talking about the right technique, right positions of goalkeepers. But sometimes all that goes out the window. Sometimes you've just got to improvise. It isn't an ideal situation. You don't get a great sight of the ball. And what happens here, the shot comes in from Torres, the cross comes in from Torres. Then he gets a great header. He does everything he should, keeps the ball low, heads it into the ground, so it's difficult for the keeper. And you can just see Tim Howard, the ball, as he saves it, he gets across to it, and it is slightly behind him. So he's almost got to, he's just got to improvise, try and scoop that ball back a little bit, and it might only be 6 inches, but the fact is that he has got to go behind himself, and he just gets enough on it just so the spin on the ball takes it round the post and out for a corner.
Excellent save, but we have five excellent saves, and only one of them can win our prestigious honour of Save of the Week. Now, The results are in at time of recording for MLS's fan vote for save of the week. And I can tell you, David, that starting from the bottom going upwards, at 12% in last place, Travis Wara, DC United. Then Bobby Shuttleworth, 12%. He's in fourth. 13% of the vote went to Tim Howard in third position. So now we have David Alstead in second place with 24% and David Bingham with 39% of the vote. I don't know whether I would agree with that order. I want to say for me, it's either Tim Howard or David Alstead. I'm probably going to go with David Alstead because it was a double bubble. You know, two saves in one. You get two for the price of one there. And because the second shot was from Nikolic and he's got 16 goals this season. Well, the other one was taken away from him the other day. I can see why people would think the Bingham save was a save of the week. I think a lot that's gone into that is the fact that it was in the Cali Clasico. And it might have been, it was a big save for that game. Do you think sometimes that's why fans vote for certain saves is not just because of the actual save, but because of the occasion?
Yeah, perhaps there is that as well. You know, the exposure that game gets as well, that might help. But unfortunately, I'd like to tell everyone that they're wrong. And for me, I think, you know, it might give a clue away in what we're saying early on, but Travis Wara for me, just because it had so much going on, and for me as a goalkeeper, I think that would be the most difficult save that I think out of all five of them. It's if you look at the situation, you know, as an experienced goalkeeper, I would say that wouldn't be the first or second thing that I'd be expecting to happen from that situation. I was expecting a shot from the near post, across the edge, 6 yard box, and then perhaps the lob. So you're thinking that that's the third thing in his mind, but he reacts brilliantly, does everything perfectly, and for me, it's the most difficult save of the week.
Yeah, excellent. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people will agree. And, you know, what we're actually trying to do for you listeners out there is for every time someone wins a save of the week, we're going to try and get that goalkeeper on the show, ask him about the save, talk to him a little bit. So look out for that. David, thank you very much for another great podcast. You know, we'll get back into it next week, hopefully with Travis Wara of DC United. How's that sound?
That sounds perfect. Then he can tell us exactly what you might just say it was luck.
Wouldn't that be funny if he just went, yeah, no, I just went back and I just said, yeah, sure, whatever. I wasn't even thinking about it, you know, and we're sitting there breaking it down idiosyncratically. That would be so funny.
It would be great to get his view on it and see it from his point of view. Perfect.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so guys, thanks again for listening to another MLS show, Save of the Week edition. I've been Scott Nichols, he's been David Priest. Good night and good goalkeeping.
Check us out online at beyondthepitch.net. Follow us on Twitter at beyondthepitch or find us on Facebook at Beyond the Pitch Show.